Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner, Kid Dynamite.
Rob Parker.
There we go. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studio.
We'll do it live.
All right, you can guess which member of the Odd Couple picked that song to play. The Flintstones. Of course, it was Rob Parker. What's up, man? Happy anniversary, brother.
Happy anniversary, Mr. Chris Broussard. Somehow, some way, we made it through 3 years full time.
Yes, Monday. Through the storms, through the rain, through all that, we made it. And I'm glad, brother. It's been a great 3 years, and we're looking forward to at least another three. We signed the contract.
That's right.
We told people a few weeks ago. So we'll be here at least another 3 years and hopefully longer.
And, the one thing I'll say, and Chris, you know I've done radio for a long time. I got my first show in 1994 in Detroit. But it ain't easy getting
partners. Wasn't it called the I Couple?
Chris, why you got to rain on our parade today?
I'm just saying. Let me just ask you, did you ever do another show called The Odd Couple?
Yes, I did.
All right. Okay. That's all I'm just
But not on national sports talk radio, okay? Not on national. It was in Detroit. But my point is that it ain't easy to get a partner and have chemistry. People try. They try all the time. You talk to anybody in radio executives, listeners, it ain't that easy. And it doesn't mean that you have to be happy, schmappy, and everything is perfect. That's not as right. It's about a chemistry. It's about, does it work? Can they work together? Does it sound good? You know what I mean? And and that's where we are. And I don't take that for granted, okay? I get mad some days, and I don't get PO'd or whatever you want
to term. You make me some days I'm glad I'm not in the studio with
yes,
you.
Yes, but I appreciate that we are different people, but we have mutual respect. So that's the part that doesn't go away. And 25 years, even we knew each other even before we did this radio show.
Well, I think it's 29 years.
Right?
I believe we met 1992 at the Detroit NABJ, National Conference in Detroit.
Yes.
And Rob was the big time. You were the big time Cincinnati Reds beat writer and all
I don't know
the young,
about big time.
Young
I
black was. Reporters looked up. Yo, he covers the baby. He covers the Reds. Like, yo.
Crazy.
But nah, man, look, it was great from the beginning, and you were, you know, always humble. Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that knows, you know, you've always gone out of your way to help nurture young reporters and mentor young reporters and give advice. And that includes me. That includes Stephen A. Smith. That includes many others that people know that are now household names. And so I appreciate your friendship more than anything. And you're right about the chemistry. Like, it's something you can't really predict.
You can't.
You can't
you just
really
don't
script,
know it.
Right? Like, Don Martin, you know, we got to give him props. The executive here at Fox Sports Radio who heard you when I had the In the Zone podcast, like my first couple years at Fox Sports 1. And you were a guest, and, you know, we just did our thing. And Don, you know, contacted both of us like, yo. Well, he didn't say that, but, you know.
But he was like,
hey, you guys got great chemistry. Why haven't you been on the radio together? And we were each doing weekend shows with other people.
Right.
And he started talking to us about you guys should do a radio show together.
And then Scott Shapiro, our boss, also got in on it, and the two of those guys just ran with it and thought that we would make a great team, and they did something. And just for historical, and this is it, we could go move on to our topics, but these guys put on two black guys as co-host of a national sports talk radio show, and we believe it has never been done. Not two.
And you had the two live stews, but they only were on about 20 markets or something like that,
And exactly. But Atlanta. The two live stews, no doubt about it. They had a smaller national platform.
Right.
But we're on about 400 stations around the country, and it's never been done before. And give Fox Sports Radio, Premier Networks, Don Martin, Scott Shapiro, Julie Talbert, and everybody else attached to it, give them props for saying, we're going to do something different, and that's what they did. So here we are, 3 years in the books. We're so proud and happy with the listeners and the people who make this show every day. Rob G., Alex, all our update people.
Elijah.
Elijah.
Sager.
Everybody.
Gascon. Yes. B. Finn, Brian Finley. Lead the Lap, all of them.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, and we are excited to have you guys working with us as we have been the last 3 years. All right, DJ Alex Heischer is on the ones and twos. Lee DeLapp, who we just mentioned, is producing today for Rob G. And on the updates, I believe it is Steve DeSager. All right, so Rob, let's get into it. Last night, good game. You know, very exciting game.
Well, down to the wire, you had a missed field goal, and then offsides, it gets another chance. I mean, those penalties, Chris, they kill you. They kill you.
Well, Rob, that's what I want to say quickly, and I know you got something to say. The Giants fans should be enraged. I'm not even a Giants fan, and I was enraged watching that game, Rob, because we know how tough it is to start your season 0-2, and they are 0-2 now. And the last 20 teams over the last 2 years that started 0-2 didn't make the playoffs. Now, the Giants are lucky they're in a horrible division, the worst in the NFL, so maybe they still have a shot. But the bottom line is they're not good enough. And for their next seven games are the Saints, the Rams, I believe, the Chiefs, and one more team that's really good. They're going to be 2-6 at best in short order. And so their season will be pretty much done. But, Rob, this is why they should be enraged, the Giants fans, because the Giants absolutely, positively gave that game away. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I am not only talking about the penalty on the missed field goal that led to the main field goal.
No, I get it.
Right?
I get it.
How about Darius Slayton dropping that pass in the end zone? I mean, Rob, if you want to say it was a tad bit overthrown, a tad, maybe an inch, but it was still very catchable. It hit him in the hands. You've got to make that play. There wasn't a defender in sight, and he dropped it. That would have ended the game. 6 minutes left. But then, Rob, it got worse. They made the same possession, 3rd and 5, in the territory of the Reds, the Washington football team. They have a false start, Nate Solder, their offensive tackle.
Yep.
Now it's 3rd and 10. Next play, the other offensive tackle, Andrew Thomas, false start. Now it's 3rd and 15. They're lucky Daniel Jones scrambled and got him back in somewhat field goal position, and Graham Gano hit a great 55-yarder to give them the lead. And then, Rob, to add insult to injury, 37 seconds left, Washington is marching, and there's another offsides penalty or infraction on the Giants' defense. 4 penalties in the last 6 minutes of the game that cost you the game. And that's not even to mention, Rob, Daniel Jones' long, 55-yard run.
Came back.
It was a touchdown, but came back because of holding. So Joe Judge is Mr. Disciplinarian. You know, Rob, I'm old school. I don't mind that. But how in the world are you Mr. Disciplinarian? How in the world are you Mr. Buttoned Up? How in the world are you Mr. We're going to do everything the right way? And you got 4 costly penalties in the last 6 minutes. That's why they should be enraged, Rob. Because their season's on the brink already because of self-inflicted wounds.
And that's all fair, and I'm not even going to disagree with you, and you're right about Judge. You can't be, wear that on your sleeve, Chris, and the mistakes you're talking about are coaching mistakes, okay?
They are.
They are. Those are when the coach hasn't gotten through the players that you're not going to hurt the football team, okay? You're not going to make those kind of – do those kind of things to hurt. But I'm going to go, Chris, it's even bigger than this. And if I'm Giants ownership, I'm sorry, Dave Gettleman, done. I got to get rid of Dave Gettleman, the general manager. He was hired, Chris, ahead of the 2018 season. Through three seasons, Giants are 15-34, one of the worst marks in the NFL. And you already see what's happening of this season. Don't forget, he hired Pat Shurmur. You remember him, the coach, right, for lasted two seasons. Yeah. Disaster. Now they gave him a second chance to hire another coach, and he brought in Judge, right? And it hasn't worked out so far. And there's other things, you know, with making a trade and when they got rid of
Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham Jr. and whatnot. And you could say,
how about the drafting of Saquon Barkley, who is a fine running back, Rob. But in this day and age, second pick overall, you're drafting a running back?
Right. And Daniel Jones. So when
six.
You look at it, you can just pick out and go, oh, yeah, that was awful last night. The Giants are putrid. They stink. Are you kidding me? Come on, this is not good enough. 15-34? This is the general manager. He's put together this mess. He's hired the coaches who you don't like and who aren't coaching right. It's got to go to the top. Seriously, the Giants have to do better than this, and it has to be about the front office. What's put together is not working.
Right.
And you're right, Chris. Last night, it looked like Danny Dimes had a great game, and they were going to win, and they put together points against what was supposed to be a great defense, but the first two games of the year for Washington, I don't know about the defense, Chris. Do you?
Absolutely.
This ain't the defense from last year.
They have not looked good at all. But, Rob, you're right, and I do think if this season goes as it's looking like it will, I do think Gettleman will be in trouble. He might. I would think Gettleman will be gone. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But if this season is horrible again, I think he's in deep trouble.
And this is 5 years in a row that this franchise.
Joe Judge. I wouldn't get rid of Joe Judge, Rob. But you know how it is. I'd keep him. It's only his second year. You know how it works, though. When a new GM comes, if Gettleman's let go and a new GM comes, then now Judge is automatically on the hot seat.
But you have to bring in, right, you bring in your own guy. And this is the only problem is, like, Chris, you can lose because you don't have enough talent and whatnot. But when you start losing because of coaching, then you got to look at Judge. The stuff we talked about is coaching stuff. And that's where you should be concerned. Daniel Jones, did they find their quarterback of the future? I don't think so. I'm not saying throw him out, but
right. I'm willing to watch him one more year. He did look good last night. He has been better at holding on to the football the last seven games, dating back to even last year.
But you know, but still, the results aren't there.
Right.
And so,
yeah, it's
so,
no guarantee for sure.
I'm
you
saying, like,
know.
If the Giants have a horrible season and have a chance to draft a quarterback, he hasn't done enough yet for me to say, oh, no, we're not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like
Rob,
it's just not going to happen.
The season is quickly becoming about, let's see what Daniel Jones can do. Because if you're not going to make the playoffs and you know you're about out, then that's what it's going to become about. Let us see if Daniel Jones is improved enough where we think he's our quarterback of the future. If not, you know who they're going to have their eyes on, Rob. Spencer Rattler, I would think, the quarterback at Oklahoma. He's off to a tough start this year. But a lot of people think he's the number one pick. And look at the last three quarterbacks to come out of Oklahoma, Rob. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. So far, so good for those guys in Oklahoma. So we will see. But we're going to throw it out to you on our third anniversary, the Odd Couple. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. What do you feel is the biggest problem with the New York football Giants And are the mistakes that they made last night inexcusable? Rob and I say they are. What say you? 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in with the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, yeah. Perfect day for our anniversary. A funky flashback Friday and DJ Alex Tyshirt in the crates. It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And don't let age beat you. As you can see, Rob and I, neither Rob nor I, has let age beat us. And one way we do it, one way we keep in front of age, many steps, many yards ahead of age, is we use M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts your energy. Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off with promo code ODDCOUPLE. That's right. Odd Couple, don't let age beat you. Go get some M-Drive. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Look, we know the Giants are not a national team. And outside of New York, Rob, I don't know who cares about the Giants. But if you want to weigh in, hit us up. We're talking them for the next few minutes. 877-99 on Fox.
All right, let's kick it off with Kevin in Culver City, California. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
What's up, fellas?
What's up,
Kev? What up, brother?
Heat Wave Boogie Nights, 1977. Was I right, Rob?
I think you're about right. 77
about,
or 78.
Yeah, 77 yeah. Sounds right. I bet you. What, okay. Alex? You got Alex will get that for us.
I'm a check.
Oh, yeah. The number one guy I'm blaming is David Gettleman. Look, I hate to go there, but when you draft Andrew Thomas over Jedrick Willis, who's turned that Cleveland run game around, Tristan Wirfs, who won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, you messed up on left tackle. Daniel Jones, I think he's looking great. He has Josh Allen traits. He's mobile in the quarterback. He's mobile in the pocket. He's a dual-threat quarterback. He can run. He showed he's got a great arm. He threw two dimes at Darius Slayton. Slayton dropped a free touchdown. That wasn't on him. He looked good last night. Another thing I'm going to point to, I hate to go there, but when you hire Joe Judge over Eric Bieniemy, who looked like he was more than qualified to be a great head coach, that's on the GM. They still look like they're trying to replace Odell Beckham. These are all David Gettleman moves. So you can't put it on anybody but David Gettleman. I like Saquon. I just think they haven't put the right talent around him on the offensive line.
All right,
no,
Kev, I appreciate
call.
It. No, no,
it's hard to disagree
with
Gettleman,
a lot
of that, Rob.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Gettleman is the guy who's put this all together. And, you know, like if we had this same show, Chris, coming off of week one, I don't know you would be as high on Daniel Jones because he played well last night. So I get that, why you feel better about him today. But overall, it has been a work in progress, and he can't hold on to the football. We know that.
Well, he's had four games in his last seven where he had no turnovers. That's interceptions or fumbles. So that shows growth. And, Rob, what you want to see from Jones, even if they're losing games, is you want to see him play well consistently.
Yeah.
Because Darnold, who was just shipped out of New York, right, he had his moments. Yeah, flashes.
Everybody has moments.
Right.
And then Sam Darnold played well against the Jets in the opener. Like, right? Carolina's 1-0 as you move forward. All right, Brandon in Dallas. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, Chris? What's up, Rob?
How are you?
Man, doing great, man. Enjoying the tunes on a funky Flashback Friday.
No doubt.
That's right.
Yeah, but I think the previous caller hit it on the head, man. I think it is almost kind of similar to what the Cowboys are going through for the past couple of decades, but it's a issue from the top down, you know, from ownership to general manager. You know, the casual fan really shouldn't even be able to know your general manager by name, but yet Gettleman, you know, it keeps being in the press and in the headlines.
I mean, maybe you said casual fan, but you know, GMs are out there. Ownership, generally, they don't need to know. You know,
well, they hire guys like Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur.
The championship trophy.
Right. It's just that these are some bad hires. I mean, I just And Chris, you talked about this. Thanks, Brandon.
And some bad draft picks.
Yeah, both of them. And but like, I think you mentioned, like, Joe Judge was like, I don't even know, he was never a coordinator.
He was a special teams guy. And wide receivers,
I believe. And Eric Bieniemy.
And nobody knew who Ben McAdoo was.
Right.
Ben McAdoo came out of nowhere.
That's another one. Right. He didn't hire McAdoo, but he was another hire by the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, look, and again, I don't mind Joe Judge. I wouldn't get rid of him just yet. But, Rob, I mean, and the Giants aren't the only ones. The fact that Eric Bieniemy doesn't have a head job, and if he gets overlooked this following offseason, I mean, this is ridiculous. But yep. You mentioned nope. Judge. Judge was a special teams coach for most of his NFL career.
Right.
What, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. 8 years as a special teams coach in New England, and that's it. He was actually a special teams assistant in Alabama, too. So, Rob, come on. I thought you had to be a coordinator.
That was what the old standard was, Chris. You had to work. Because remember, there weren't that many black coordinators, so they were saying that's
right.
The reason they're not getting
right,
hired,
because exactly.
They're not coordinators. Then they become coordinators, and now, well, we don't have to go by that. We just think
right.
this guy rubbed up against Bill Belichick, so he's got to be good. You know, like, this guy had a cup of coffee in the suite roll with Sean McVay, so
yep.
He's got to be good. And that's the way they do hiring.
He was 37 years old, Rob, when he was hired. He's 39 now. So, and that's what we call, when you hear somebody say moving the goalpost,
yep.
That's the very definition, the very essence of moving the goalpost. All right, Matt Vadaram, national NFL reporter for FanSided and the host of the Stacking the Box podcast. Will join us in a moment, but first.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup. Sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked
about
it, Chris. We
are the iCouple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. What was that?
No, we talked about it. Live sporting events rule television. That's the only thing you got to watch. Like, everything else is on demand.
Yep.
Watch it when you want. Binge watch it, Chris. The only thing you can't do is sports. And that's why sports is where it is in this television ratings and the scope of, you know, taking over the television dial in this country, period.
No doubt about it. All right, our next guest is a national NFL reporter for FanSided, and he's the host of the Stacking the Box podcast, Matt Vadaram. Matt, welcome to the Odd Couple.
What's happening?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. What's going on?
Nah, it's great to have you, my man. Let's get up to speed on what's going on for this weekend. Let me ask you this. Josh Allen, in his first game for Buffalo this season last weekend, he didn't look good. He looked more like the Josh Allen of his first 2 years rather than the guy that, you know, was on the MVP shortlist last year and finished second to Aaron Rodgers. This week they played Miami. I personally expect them to bounce back. But is there any thought out there that maybe last year was an aberration for him? I'm on First Things First with Nick Wright, and he says that all the time. What are you hearing around the league from people on Josh Allen and what he did last weekend?
I think there's a general belief that he will bounce back. Like, he was a second-team All-Pro last year, played great ball. Buffalo gets to the AFC title game. And, you know, really, if you look at the game against Pittsburgh, to me, and I think to a lot of people, it comes down to two throws. He had a couple of deep balls wide open in the first half, one to Emmanuel Sanders, the other to Stephon Diggs. Missed them both. I mean, it would have been walking touchdowns in both cases. And I think for Allen, who even when he was inconsistent his first couple of years, one thing he could do is launch the football. If he hits even one of those throws, Buffalo probably wins. You know, they go to Miami. Look, the Dolphins have a great secondary. It's going to be a test. but they don't quite have the front that Pittsburgh does. I would think that Brian Daboll, the Bills OC, is going to say, look, let's get the ball out of his hands, let's get a little bit of confidence, and then let's try to hit some shots. So I think there's a general expectation he does bounce back. And what is a pretty important game for the Bills down at South Beach.
No doubt. Hey, the Giants and Washington last night, Washington wins on a last-second field goal. And I know the Giants were bad before Dave Gettleman got there. That's why they hired him, because they had been bad. But since he's taken over, he's hired 2018, the Giants are 15-34, one of the worst marks in the NFL. The drafting has been questionable. The hiring of coaches has been questionable. What do you make of Dave Gettleman? Is this a Joe Judge problem, or is this a front office problem with the Giants?
I think it's an organizational problem. And if you look at them right now, they've been awful for years. I mean, they've really been awful since Ben McAdoo showed up and had 1 year they got to the playoffs with him, and then the wheels fell off.
Right.
And since then, it's been Pat Shurmur, it's been Dave Gettleman, it's been Joe Judge. None of them have won. And I think everybody shares in it. Look, last night was an exhibition in how not to coach. That was a disaster for the Giants. I mean, there was
no
one
doubt.
Play that came out. I believe it was about a minute to go in the game. The Giants had come out of a timeout. The Giants have 13 guys on the field. How do you have 13 guys?
That can't happen.
Stuff like that. It absolutely can't happen. I mean, 13 guys. I wasn't even 12 guys, which is bad enough. So
right.
You have that situation. Then Gettleman, look, Saquon Barkley is a hell of a player. No one would argue that. But is a running back in today's game where
that's what Chris just said.
Probably not.
Right.
Daniel Jones? I don't think you can't make a case right now he was worthy of a top 10 pick. He got outplayed by Taylor Heinicke last night. So. Look, it's on everybody with the Giants. If they don't turn it around, there's a good chance of a house cleaning.
Let's stay in that division and go to Dallas. All right, everybody's wondering, what does Ezekiel Elliott have left? What's your answer to that?
I think right now, if you're the Cowboys, the dirty secret is Tony Pollard's been better than him for the better part of a year and a half at this point. I think if you're the Cowboys, look, you've got to make it work. Right, I mean, Jerry paid him $90 million. You're not going to all of a sudden just admit, hey, yeah, Tony Pollard's the better option. That's not going to happen. So you're going to have to ride him. Now, I do think Zeke can still play. I still do believe he's a good running back who's capable of having very good games. I don't think all of a sudden now he's just a hood ornament. But is he worth what they paid him? No. But he wasn't worth what they paid him at the time because no running back is. So if you're Dallas, you're going to need to lean on him, especially right now. Gallup's hurt. Lyle Collins suspended. Now, they're taking on some water. They go to a game here in L.A., which is going to be like a home game for them. And you're playing against the front that Joey Bosa is great. The rest of the front seven for the Chargers, I think you can do something against. They're going to have to rely on him more than they did against Tampa, where they didn't even try to run the ball. They just knew they couldn't.
So you were talking about Dallas, and I wanted to add this. About Dak Prescott, he put up big numbers again, and he's done it, but they don't usually win when he throws for over 350 yards. He's 4-10 in those games. What is it? I mean, I'm not going to blame it on him, but do they need balance? Do they need something else? You can't be 4-10 when your quarterback's putting up all these big numbers. It reminds me of Matt Stafford in Detroit.
You know, I think a lot of it is they just can't play defense. I mean, if you look at them with Dak, most of his career, really other than his first year where they came onto the scene and were 13-3, they've not been able to stop anybody. Now, I don't expect that to get any better this weekend with Marcus Lawrence out now for a few months, Randy Gregory trying to get out of the COVID protocol. They just have not been able to stop anybody. And so you get into these games where Dak's just forced to basically drop back and throw it 40, 45, 50 times. I don't know how you can pin it on him. I mean, ultimately, if he's not there, and we saw it last year when he was hurt, they're not going to win anything. I mean, they're going to be a 5-win team. So I think he's the only reason they stay competitive, along with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. But could you ever really look at the Cowboys since Dak's been there and say they've been well-coached? No. Could you say they've had an elite defense, even a really good defense? No. And so I think it puts all the onus on Dak. And really, he has no chance unless he just has the ball last and they're down less than a score.
All right, the big game this weekend is, of course, Sunday night, Kansas City, Baltimore. Lamar Jackson said last year that the Chiefs are their kryptonite. He's 0-3 against them. His performances against them pale in comparison to what he does against other teams in the NFL. What do you think will happen on Sunday? And do you think that Lamar can have a good game and lead them to victory this Sunday?
He can and could. Look, they're just taking on a lot of oil right now with all the injuries. They are as banged up as any team in the NFL. And we've all spent a lot of time talking about the running backs, what with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. But really, when you look at them, the biggest injury they have, in my opinion, is Marcus Peters. And that offensive line is all kinds of banged up. Look, I think Jackson, he can play well in this game, and he's going to have to. He's going to have a great game for them to win, in my opinion. I don't think they have enough otherwise on the defensive side to slow Kansas City down. They love the blitz. Mahomes kills the blitz. But if you're Baltimore, look, you still have enough talent here to be competitive. It's a game where you're at home, prime time. But for Lamar, it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot for anybody against Kansas City. It's a real tough spot when you're kind of playing one hand tied behind your back with all these injuries. I think the Chiefs are the favorite. They should be. It's going to take a huge effort from Lamar for the Ravens to win.
All right, last thing here, the Steelers. Smoke and mirrors, or is that defense good enough? I'm not crazy about Big Ben. I think I'll take Uncle Ben at this point in his career. But where are you on the Steelers got a defense to be able to make the playoffs and do something?
I think they're good enough to make the playoffs, sure. Defensively, they're one of the best teams in football. I looked at that game, Rob, and said, this is who they were last year.
Right.
I mean, everybody got confused because they went 11-0. They played a really soft schedule. And then at the end of the year, they trailed off big time. But I think they're basically the same team. They're a team that's going to rely on quick passing, getting the ball outside, letting their playmakers make plays, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, all those guys, you know, Smith-Schuster. And then defensively saying, look, we're going to hold teams to 17 points. 20 points. We're going to get some turnovers, have some good field position. I think if you're Pittsburgh, that's going to be how you have to win. Now, can they beat a Kansas City in the playoffs like that? I don't think so. But could they win 11 games, be a playoff team? Sure. They're well coached and they have a great defense. I think that's enough to win the games that they should win.
All right, Matt, great stuff, man.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
the knowledge. Good stuff. We'll get you on again, man.
It sounds good. Anytime, guys.
Thank you. All right, peace. All right, we're moving to the NBA, and the experts and prognosticators at a certain network are saying who's going to win NBA, MVP, and the team title, the finals. Rob and I will comment. That's next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Man, oh man, classic material on a funky flashback Friday. The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob and Luther. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. DJ Alex Tyson on the ones and the twos. And in the crates, Tom Crady. All right, Rob, let's go to the NBA for a moment. The experts and pundits, their own words, over at ESPN.com, Rob, they made their predictions for this upcoming NBA season. And they predicted the Brooklyn Nets to be the team that's going to win the championship. It was a wide margin, too. It's like 80-something percent. And they gave the Lakers the second-best chance. And then for MVP... Yeah, so they got Brooklyn winning the East, Lakers winning the West, and Brooklyn, 79% said Brooklyn will win it all.
Wow.
Close to 16% said the Lakers. 5% said the Bucks. But for MVP, they got Kevin Durant. And so they got Durant and Brooklyn, his team, winning the two most prestigious awards. What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're right, and I'll give you my reasons. A, they came within Kevin Durant wearing a size 15 from beating Milwaukee with two players hurt, essentially. I know Harden was out there, Chris, but he was a shell of himself, and Kyrie didn't play. So you look at that and you say, man, they almost did that. That's the team that won the championship. Kevin Durant's foot is behind the line. Milwaukee gets knocked out.
They might win it all.
Exactly. That's how close it was.
There's
okay.
No way Atlanta.
Right. And here's the other part. The Kevin Durant had, Chris, didn't play much during the regular season, had a great postseason, And then look at what he did in the Olympics. He's back. It's hard to look at him and even think about the injury. Like, that's
he's back. Yeah.
Am I right? No, he's all the way back. And he didn't miss a spot, a step. So I think they look at that, and then I think they look at the odds. What are the odds that two of the three guys are going to be hurt next postseason? The odds aren't good that those guys are going to be healthy. And if they're healthy, they will be hard to beat. We saw during the regular season when, Chris, they were playing two guys of the three. And remember, they ran off like 19 out of 21 or whatever
and
it was.
Those two were Harden and Kyrie, not even the best one. Yeah.
So I think that's why overwhelmingly the experts have them.
Well, I'm with you on Brooklyn. I just think their big three fits together better than the Lakers. It's pretty seamless. It has been seamless. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You hate to lose a Jeff Green, but Jeff Green, who had the big game in the playoffs for them, can't remember which game it was against Milwaukee.
Game two.
He only did that because
– Game two.
You only needed him to do it, Rob, because, like you said, Harden was banged up and Kyrie was out.
Right.
And if it was game two, he wasn't out. But I thought it was
no, one Harden, games, Harden was out. He got hurt in game one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Kyrie –
Yeah, but Green. Harden was out. I think Green and who else, Chris, had the big game in game two. Remember, they blew him out. They ran him out the gym.
Yeah. I can't remember who the other role player was. But anyway, they brought in Paul Millsap.
Oh, Blake Griffin. Remember, Blake had
back.
A big game. Yep.
And I like Blake in the role he's playing. You know, he still can ball. LaMarcus Aldridge is there. Coming off, you know,
and they got Millsap, Patty Mills
is a winner. That's a great guy to have off the bench. So, yeah, I mean, look, the Lakers I do like in the West just because, Rob, especially with Kawhi out, who out there has the talent to beat them? We'll see. I mean, it's possible for sure because it may not come together in L.A., but I'm going with them, but Brooklyn's a better fit, and I think they can get it done. As far as MVP, that's where I do disagree. And you're right, Durant is back. There's no doubt. But we know, Rob, that it's tough to win MVP when you've got two other stars.
No, that's
fair. Really superstars. Let's just keep it real. Kyrie and James Harden. LeBron did win two when he was in Miami with Wade and Bosh. But generally, it is tough to win the MVP. They would, and I'm not saying it won't happen, but the best chance of it happening, Rob, would be if they won like 70-something games, you know, and Durant's awesome. But here, look, Rob, you and I talked about this before Durant got back last year. James Harden was looking like the MVP.
Right.
So what Rob.
Before he got hurt. What he did
awesome.
With Brooklyn and put them on a winning trajectory, Chris. I'm with you. He was a legit candidate before he came up lame.
So I think both of those guys will probably play at an MVP level. And that's not even to mention Kyrie, who's going to ball. So I think they'll probably cancel each other out. I would say my favorite, Rob, would be Luka. Assuming Dallas can have a good year where maybe they're the fourth seed in the West. I think if they win 50-plus games, Luka could get that. And I think Steph's going to be up there, too, because I expect them to be much better. If they can win more games, maybe be in the hunt for the home court advantage in the West, I think Steph will put up big numbers and have a shot. Embiid, I think. And then Giannis, and I will throw Durant in. Those would be my top five candidates. That's no slight on the guys in L.A., but, again, they'll cancel each other out. LeBron, AD, Westbrook. And LeBron's numbers are going to drop down.
Right.
Just
they
because,
have to.
You know, yeah, if it's going to work.
Right. If he had the same numbers, then Westbrook was a zero.
Right. So other than maybe people trying to force a narrative, Rob, I don't see LeBron really being near the top of that race. But it's going to be an exciting season, that's for sure. The Lakers are already out there working out. You've seen videos of LeBron and Westbrook. The Nets, KD and Kyrie are holding practices for the Nets players out there in L.A. as well. So they're all getting ready, and so are we, the iCup. We got 2 hours left. You know what to do. Keep that bad boy locked.